Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined.
So hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Man Reimagined with myself, Richard Ayling, and the good Malcolm Nichols. Malcolm, are you there?
G'day, Richie. Yes, I am here, and nice to be back once more to this podcast episode.
Yeah, let's dive straight into it. In this episode, we decided to look at the topic of emotion, this loaded word. Men often get accused of not expressing how they're feeling enough, right? And as a consequence, relationships can be challenging. It leads to a lot of adverse effects in life. Is this fair? Do men in reality struggle to express emotion? What is our relationship to this word and the words and feelings around it? What is emotion? Let's dive into that and what it really means to be able to express it. I'll throw it right over to you, Mal, and perhaps it's helpful to start with a definition of what you think emotion actually is.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. And I agree with you. I think it's really helpful to get a handle on what emotions are and where they come from and what our understanding of them are. Because, as a man, as a human being, the way that I think of emotions is often, it's these states that we get into, such as love, anger, joy, fear, all those types of things, right? Which we've got labels for them, but really those are just labels. Emotion, as I understand it, are actually sensations in their body. They're hormones and chemicals that our body release. And from an evolutionary point of view, the reason we have emotion, and to be clear too, every animal in the animal kingdom has emotion, because what emotions do is they force us into action. It's there's the sensation of fear, for example, is a survival sensation that we experience that gets us into some kind of preventative action, whether it's flight, fight, whatever, which I think most people have heard of that. So emotion is actually just simply sensation in the body. Love, for example, we've given it a name of love, but if we were to actually try to understand what love is, we need to come into the body and try to get and it's actually just feelings, right? They're feelings of this being drawn towards something, or a feeling of warmth and a feeling of connection to another person, but they're just purely sensation in the body caused by hormonal releases, which comes from the endocrine system. And I think for me, having that understanding is really, really important, because when I think of emotion, if I just think of it as these states that we've got names to, like anger or joy or whatever, I sometimes feel like I for myself don't know if I'm often feel that I can get overwhelmed by emotion, and I don't often feel like I'm in quite very good at expressing what I'm feeling. But when I get rid of the labels and allow myself to understand that emotion is just simply sensation in the body, somehow my relationship with it changes. What are your thoughts, Rich?
Yeah, I like that a lot. And you highlighted a few emotions, and there are a few words, right, that I think a lot of men learn, but there's so much more to it. It's such a nuanced topic in an area, and it's not one that we move towards naturally. You know, it's for me a, for some, somehow, somewhere, I think women are more naturally in tune with their bodies. Maybe they're taught to be more, they have more language for it. I don't know, you know, but I, what I do notice is that as a man, I've always lacked the vocabulary to describe what I'm feeling. And the key point you mentioned is to not make it like an intellectual pursuit of like, how are you feeling? Oh, I think I'm feeling this, or, but actually to get into the body and to do away with those labels is, you know, life-changing. And yet a lot of men find it really, really hard to do that. You know, we start every circle with asking about the high and low round and also a predominant feeling. And you ask most men, in my experience, and I was the same for a long time, you know, how are you feeling? What's the predominant feeling right now? And it will be something like tired, or I'm feeling there's not the ability naturally to come into the body and actually pause and go, okay, what sensations are actually there? What is going on for me? Like, well, there's some tension in my stomach or something like that. There's a resistance to being able to do that. And I think the more we dive into this, the more we're going to start to talk about how important it is to be able to do that. But what are your thoughts on why it is that men are so resistant / unable to do this?
Yeah, well, I mean, you use the word languaging. I actually think that so much of it is a lack of training, a lack of languaging skills that as men we've been given. And so, you know, when we think about it, as men, we've learnt how to express emotion from previous and past generations. And so in New Zealand, you know, God help us all, but you know, a Kiwi male does not, you know, for a long time just didn't express emotion. It's like, how are you doing? I'm all right, you know, that's, I'm okay. Yeah, not bad is another good one. You know, like, and that, so much of it is a language, and then it's also this thing of that when the range of emotion that I was certainly introduced to growing up is so limited, you know, that there really are, you know, you're angry or sad or happy, and you know, and there's very few words outside of those that really work, right? And then, but then as a Kiwi male, you know, it almost wasn't actually appropriate to come out and say, I'm angry, I'm sad, or I'm happy. You know what I mean? The words that I could come out with is I'm all right. So there's two things going on there, really. One is just the poor vocabulary that I certainly grew up with. And then the second part to that is actually that, you know, it's the lack of encouragement to be able to then even use those words as it is, right? You know, because a lot of people, certainly experiencing this in New Zealand, if I was to sit around and somebody said, how are you? And you go, oh yeah, I'm feeling pretty angry. You know, most people don't actually want to hear that. You know what I mean? So then the receiver shuts down as well. So I think there's this dynamic really where for a long time, you know, this idea of emotion hasn't been welcome, at least not in the world that I grew up in. And so with that being the history, then kind of moving into a situation or an environment where, you know, as men, it's like, well, you know, I want to know how you're feeling, how we are feeling, or something like that, you know, to start to then be able to articulate it when, one, we don't have a great vocabulary for it, and two, we haven't really been sure it's been that welcome for so long. It's actually really difficult. Like, so for me, you know, I know that, you know, my biggest fear around expressing emotion is that it's going to get rejected by the person who's hearing it. You know what I mean? And therefore, I get, you know, that means that I get quite scared because I feel, you know, this word vulnerable again. It's like distress emotion feels vulnerable because of the fear of it being rejected. So all of these things, all these little things coming together has, you know, can make it, from my experience, really difficult to find a way to express emotion.
Yeah, like what I see a lot is when a woman would sort of say around other women, I'm feeling this, and there's this sort of huddle together and like, oh, support and move in to help with whatever that is. And for me, I think men, there's something wrong, you know, in our minds with doing that. It's like I think it's got to do with it's got to do with the strong man image that we're not allowed to fail. We've got to have our shit together. And to express what we're feeling is a sign of weakness somehow. I mean, that's definitely something I believe. And it's not helpful. So I can imagine that, you know, a lot of men might skip this episode. Perhaps that's doing them a disservice, but that word emotion seems to be like the word vulnerability, separate podcast, like just such a swear word, just like, oh, let's not go there. Because like you said, we haven't had the training. And yet I think what would be really helpful is to talk about the benefits of actually doing this. Like, why bother learning all these different words and expressing how we're feeling now? Like, what are the benefits to tuning in to our emotions and being okay to express them? You know, why would a guy move into this area, which is probably, you know, less than comfortable? What's the advantage?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, bloody good question, Rich. And, you know, I think just to kind of reflect a bit on what you just said there, you know, with this stuff around emotion, I think actually, you know, from conversations, I think a lot of men really do want to learn this, you know. And the reason I say that is because of a lot of conversations I've had, you know, and even through these podcasts, you know, that you and I are doing, the feedback we're getting, it's like, I think there is a real desire to do it, but, you know, there's a lack of knowing where to go to find out how. But also, the pressure on us to be able to do it and to step up is quite intense as well. I find it's like the expectation for men to be able to express emotion now is growing, and you know, I think the desire to do it, but just not knowing how, and then that kind of feeds that's like the loop that feeds back into it that creates more pressure. So, you know, I my hope is that there are going to be a lot of people really interested in listening into this podcast, because this for me is gold. It's like, this is where the growth of men can really, really evolve. Because, you know, to get to your question now, Rich, you know, what's the why do it? Why learn how to express it? Why learn how to first feel emotion and then express it? And I think that's they're two interesting parts to this conversation. And I think it's worthwhile kind of breaking them down a little bit. You know, so in terms of the expressing emotion, you know, what's the value in that? Well, I think one thing is connection, absolute connection, right? Mm. Being able to let other people into our own worlds. You know, I know that if in the conversations that you and I have and that we have with other men, when they reveal a bit about themselves and what they're feeling and experiencing, it's like I instantly feel much more connected and drawn into them. But I also feel much safer, much more trust,
right?
You know, all these really valuable things, right? But the other thing too is that when I express how I'm feeling, there's that sense of connection, but there's something about inviting somebody into my world that it's like it takes a load off my shoulders, eh? You know, it's as if that facade, that wall that might be there that protects me can just kind of come down a bit as I open up into somebody else. And it And it just life actually feels much softer in a really good way, you know. And I mean, that can sound a little bit funny, but it's like I'm not having to battle in life in as much when I'm much more open about how I'm feeling. Are you following me with that one, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, expressing emotions isn't the cure to all illnesses, right? But the more that we hold stuff back, push stuff down, the more it leaks out in unpleasant ways. And that can be related to anger and its unhealthy partner, rage, right? Or it can be depression, you know, anxiety. It's just this idea that we're alone in a situation is really the problem. And so you can be surrounded by people, but if you're not able to relate to them and express what's really going on for you, you know, there are too many sad stories of we've heard, you know, of people that we've met, like that a man has left a family behind and taken his own life. It's really sad. And the person, the partner didn't know, because there was just this inability, and it's just so suppressed. And, you know, when I think about the lineage, you know, of fathers and grandfathers and the trauma that, you know, was experienced during the wars, etc., there's no real way to deal with this and express it and heal it. And so there's this kind of collective trauma that's being passed down, which again might sound fanciful, but it's a thing. And when you think about your own relationship to your own father, I mean, that's a separate podcast without a doubt, but you know, let's not go there now, but it brings up a lot instantly, and it brings up emotion, I think, for most men in some way, because it's a deep desire to connect. And yet where men historically haven't been able to, you know, show their sons that love in a way that has always landed, you know, there's a real sadness in that, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I love the way you brought in the generations there, Rich, and all the past wounds and everything that we've got. There's so much. When we look back at that and follow that through, you can see why we are the way that we are and how we've got here. I think one of the things too about this whole expressing emotion is that, you know, as I mean, I'm of English descent, right? And so that Anglo-Saxon kind of Northern European reservedness there. And, you know, often there's this thing of looking at the more Latin cultures or other cultures around the world where men are much more expressive. But often I'm like, yeah, but are they? Like, what kind of emotion are they expressing and how are they expressing it? You know, and often I think that, you know, we did this podcast on the one a few weeks ago on the violence towards women, right? And, you know, I mean, that's emotion expressed really poorly. And, you know, and I think that, you know, particularly in Latin cultures, I've had experience with Argentina, you know, my wife being from Argentina, and you know, you could say that they express emotion a lot, right? But my experience of that is that it's actually quite, you know, it's quite confronting, and it's also not really actually caring for the other person and what they're delivering. It's quite confrontational, and it's quite in your face, and like half the time I look at that and I'm like, actually, to be honest, you know what I mean? Holding my emotion in is actually kinder and nicer to other people than the shit that you've just poured out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Yes. So I think that that's a good distinction to be aware of, is that what we're talking about here is it's not just about a sharing or revealing emotion in any way, shape, or form, for the sake of it, without a filter. You know where we're coming from, and where we're going to go to in a minute, where we talk a little bit more, I think, about actually what it means to feel emotion, and then how do you express what you feel. You know, it's about learning how to also discern, you know, what is it, what is appropriate sharing, and what is also, and being really mindful of, this kind of loving delivery of the other person. You know what I mean?
I think so. Give me a clearer example. I'm curious.
Well, so, you know, if somebody says, you know, how are you doing or how are you feeling? You know, in my work as a body worker, right, we talk about this idea of counter transference, which is that sometimes what can happen. All right, sorry for that break. We had a little technical glitch. But so I was just getting into this discussion around counter transference, which is this idea that when somebody is feeling a particular emotion, and it might be something like rage or anger or whatever, it's that when we're having a and you just kind of dump it on the other person. And then what happens is that other person gets left with the emotion that you're feeling. So say I'm pissed off with somebody, and it might not even be the person I'm talking to, but I just kind of dump it. And then that person gets left with that feeling of discomfort, unease, and whatever, but I might feel better as a consequence. And that's kind of, that's unwise or unintelligent emotional awareness, if you get what I mean, because it's not taking into account the other person that you're talking with about how you're feeling. Does that give you some more clarity there, Rich?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that's clearly not very helpful. let's move on to the area of like of how to actually feel this and how to actually do this. And just to speak to something and be real for a minute, when I see some men kind of express themselves in almost a very sort of feminine way, and they sort of put their hands on their heart and they're just like, oh yeah, I'm just really moved, and they use this kind of language, sometimes I just go, oh, you wet blanket, you soft touch, get out of my face, I can't trust you, why do you have to be like that? You know, so there's a part of me which is definitely like not feeling it when men actually do that. And is there a way that men can, because we see this more and more, like you and I've lived in Bali, and there has been a huge movement for men to kind of move into that space of emotion and feeling and intimacy. But, you know, judgment alert, I think a lot of men are actually losing their sharpness, and they're losing their sense of structure and masculinity when they stay in that sort of space too long. It feels very intoxicating, and I've been there myself, so I get it. And that's why I judge these people now, because I think that's how I used to be. What do you think about that? Because it shouldn't be that men are this way and women are this way. We all need to start relating to our feelings. And yet I know I'm not the only man out there that kind of just gets a little shiver down his spine when he sees a man kind of really spending a lot of time in that sort of feminine space, because it's almost like, oh, I can't trust you now. So what's going on there? This is my own shadow and shit, no doubt. And yet there's something to that, I think. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I agree. And in some ways, you know, it's just that label, that new age man that was bandied around for a while, and a metrosexual and those kinds of labels, right? And I think that's where, for me, that's probably where it comes from. And in some ways, that's it's probably what that comes from is men, you know, if we've got to try to find how we express emotion, it's almost like, well, we up until just for a long time, we've had to look towards women in order to how to do that, right? And if that is a more feminine way of delivering it, but that's the way that we've seen that we express emotion, or at least that we feel emotion, then that's probably why there is a lot of that happening, because it's imitation, right? We can only imitate what we see. And I think this is where the juice lies for us, Rich, in this project that we've got. And I think for men in general is men finding our own way, our own grounded, masculine way of expressing emotion, of feeling emotion. And I think this is the bit where we can now kind of come into this learning how to feel what it is we're experiencing. And you and I have talked about this quite a bit, hey, Rich, you know, this idea of embodiment, you know, coming down into our bodies, learning to come down into our bodies and start by just simply, you know, feeling what is going on in our body as a first place, without even putting any labels on it, without putting any, you know, judgments or expectations on it, and just simply learning how to feel, wouldn't you say?
I couldn't agree more. And yeah, that's a nice kind of segue. I think that we've talked about it, and a big part of this project is of reimagining men is to reimagine the language and kind of claim our own, right? Like that's I think that's really important to do away with words that we have such that are already so loaded. You know, there's no blame around that, but there's such loaded feeling around words like vulnerability, emotion, and on and on. And so let's kind of do away with the language and come into the experience itself, which we cultivate in circles without labeling it. And so, because often we don't even say, okay, this, the experience that we just went through was, it's not about labeling. It's just about coming into the body first and foremost, and beautiful transformation can happen there. And like you said earlier, a lot of men, they're already doing this in their own ways and trying to figure this out, but somehow creating an experience and then claiming our own language around it, I think is super important. And let's switch gears to, yeah, there's this sense of embodiment, because I consider myself highly embodied, and yet like how to explain what that is and how I've managed to cultivate that and its benefits. That's a longer task. So I'll, as ever, lazily throw it over to you to begin.
Oh, thanks, mate. Well, yeah, I mean, what I think, at least what I'll do, and you can elaborate on it, is I'll briefly introduce embodiment, but then just staying with this topic of emotion and how those two intertwine. So for me, embodiment is about coming into our bodies and coming into the experience of our bodies. So when I think about how we can live in the world, one way of living in the world is through our thoughts, our head, and the downside to that is that thoughts are the place where we make this. It's all story. It's all a story about life, right? So, I think I won't do more than that now, because that is an entire podcast in and of itself. So one way of living in the world is through our head. Another way of living in the world is through our body, and our body is a much more experiential way of living life. And the prime example, and just to now to take it into the emotion, a prime example is this world of emotion. So at the beginning of the podcast, we talked about this idea that emotion is actually just sensation. And really, what it comes down to feeling emotion is just simply the ability to learn how to come into our body and to feel all those sensations that are moving and shifting around us. And so one of the skills, or the greatest skill that I think that we can learn as men, is just to simply be able to come down into the sensations as we're feeling it. Because I actually think that one of the biggest problems that a lot of us men have is because we've had this kind of difficult relationship with and misunderstood relationship with emotion, that when we start to actually feel something in our body, that it's like it kicks off this fear in us, which is like, oh shit, I'm feeling an emotion. And therefore we try to run away from it. One way of doing that is going up into our head. Another way of doing that is distracting ourselves by drinking or, going and playing some sports or whatever, right?
Numbing the sensation.
All of those things just take us away from the sensation itself. So the first thing that I think that we can do as men is just simply learn to be able to come down into all of those, whether they're uncomfortable or juicy feelings in the body, sensations in the body, and just actually hang out with them for a wee while and get to feel them and allow them to be there. And man, from my experience, as I've learned to do this, it's like that's where life is. You know, that's where the richness of being alive actually resides, is in those feelings and sensations.
Yeah, and let's just, you know, be clear and point out something really useful and helpful. Like hanging around with your emotions doesn't actually take very long, because as you and I know, an emotion will last something between like 90 seconds and 2 minutes. Like when you actually acknowledge it and feel it, it goes away. It transmutes, It moves into something else. And so you're just like rocking with it for a bit and then it's gone. And then there's a sense of, relief or something new and different. The fear of experiencing the emotion that you mentioned before is the thing that we're resistant to. And that fear hangs around because we're denying, we're suppressing, we're avoiding. But it's going to keep coming back up and back up until we get masterful at it. And then we become like super depressed, super anxious. Then the body keeps the score, right? And then the body will start giving us some kind of warning sign often, you know, like headaches, some stomach issues, you name it. You know, I was super angry. I was very depressed back in my mid-20s. I've shared this story many times before, but not dealing with all of that and drinking and eating very poorly led to a chronic illness, right? Like, the moment I took responsibility for that and started to work with myself, beautiful things started to happen, and I've managed to overcome this thing. And my relationship to my own body, and not just like the way it looks, I mean just my relationship to the emotions in it, and this sense of embodiment is key to that. It's absolutely key. And so like amazing things can happen, and we don't want to wait until, you know, we're depressed, stressed, or super sick to make this kind of shift, right? Like, let's go back to the first thing I said when I started, was that we don't have to hang out there very long. You know, we acknowledge what's going on. And again, we can do it with support. And that's what the benefit of circles are. And once you see one man go through this process, it's actually beautiful. It doesn't have to be you in the first time that you come, for sure not. There's no pressure. It's always an invitation. But just to see that this is something that can be done, and just to feel that weight lifted off your shoulders, you know, like you can take off the mask, you can just be real with what's there for a moment. That takes bravery, it takes courage. And these aren't things that can be coached, right? These are things that a man, a human, needs to bring with him and actually say, okay, I'm doing this. And that's where I think judgment, again, we fall short as men. We're terrified, and for good reason, of experiencing these things, of showing up in circle, of doing this kind of work, because we don't know what lies on the other side of that. But it's our responsibility, challenge, to start to look at this.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You made some great points there, Rich. And, you know, so just as a final point, so I think it feels to me like we're making a really good point about this, is coming into the body and feeling. It's like, so then what do we do with that in terms of how do we express it? And what are your thoughts and recommendations about, you know, okay, so I felt something, then what do I do with it?
Well, something that always helps me is to pause, come into the body by taking a few breaths, and just, you know, closing your eyes and just tuning into the body, which is hard for a lot of people, but just, you know, like scanning the body up and down. Lots of meditations kind of offer this idea, and just feel what you feel. Notice what you notice. That's one of your favorite phrases, and I like it. And just notice where there's a sense of tension or a sense of movement, and just roll with it for a bit. Just stay with it and breathe into it. That's the simplest way to do it, and see what kind of comes up. But it's just allowing what's there to come up, and then, if you're with someone else, for example, you can ask them to kind of guide you through and say, well, how are you feeling? Or what are you noticing? And to speak to this, to verbalize it, That is the goal. That is, for me, the missing piece. We can do this work on our own in a flash, but it helps to build up the awareness and the experience of speaking to what we're feeling, because something changes and shifts there when we verbalize it. So that would be an entryway into that kind of thing for me. And finding support is a great way into it. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, great one. I mean, speaking to what you're feeling, and for me, what that speaking to what we're feeling or to what's going on inside is not about giving it the label.
Right.
So it's so I'm feeling something in my belly and that's anger. So I'm going to say I'm feeling anger. No, because that's kind of that's actually missing what is going on. What the speaking to it is speaking to the sensation itself, isn't it, Rich? You know, it's like, yep. What I'm feeling is I'm actually feeling a ball in my gut, and I'm, you know, my fists are a bit clenched, and I'm noticing my breath being quite short. And that, I think, is the gold, right? Because I mean, if I hear somebody say to me those physical descriptions, I'm like, boom, I know exactly what they're feeling, because it gives me a direct connection into their body, and I can relate to that. If somebody says to me, I'm feeling angry, what I do is I would act, rather than understand what their anger might be, I'm going to put all my interpretations of anger on that word, you know, because I've got a relationship with that word that carries my own garbage. And so actually by just speaking to the sensations in our body, it's such a more profound way of connecting into what we're personally feeling, but it also profoundly allows the other person to understand what we're feeling as well.
Right. And this really crucial point, which I'm glad I remember to throw in, because it's huge for me, is, you know, we're working on not identifying with this stuff. Like, sensations come and go, as the thoughts, as the feelings, they're not part of who we are, right? As soon as you sit down and meditate and try and stop your thoughts, that's one of the misconceptions of what meditation is, because it's impossible. And who's controlling those thoughts? Who's deciding in that moment? Are you deciding on some conscious level to have these thoughts? No, right? It's all springing up from your unconscious. And it's the same with emotions. So the goal is also to start working with languaging, like, instead of I'm feeling angry, it's like I'm noticing some anger. I'm noticing the feeling of anger. And then there's some choice there. There's some, wow, like, what do I do with this? But, you know, it's there. Do I lean into it? But as soon as we say I'm angry, we're identifying and saying that I am this thing that is transient and about to go away, you know, and that's not so helpful. And so that's been revolutionary for me to say, oh, wow, there's something that's there. And I can speak to thoughts that come up and judgments without thinking, oh, God, what other people think? Because I notice it and I own that it's something that came from me, right? But it's there, and then it's out there, and just speaking to it is sensations, thoughts, feelings, they're all linked.
Yeah, beautiful, beautifully said, Rich. I think that might actually be a really wonderful way to wrap this podcast episode up, you know, because we've actually covered some real deep, big ground in this, you know. I mean, in some ways we've spent in 35 minutes we've tried to run the gamut of possibly one of the biggest things that, certainly as I understand the issues for men that men are going through, you know. And but I think
we've covered it. I think there's no more to be said, you know.
No, I feel like we've nailed it. But yeah, mate, I think what we've done here is we've hopefully started the ball rolling on not just a really good conversation, but actually on changing the way that we relate as men to emotion. And, you know,
right.
I think I can speak for you, Rich, but I really think that this way of looking at emotion that we've talked about, coming into the body, just experiencing the sensation, naming the experience in the body rather than trying to get caught up with all these labels and everything is the way forward for men. And actually not just men, but for society as a way of connecting. But, you know, for men in particular in this moment, I think there's so much opportunity for us by learning this way of looking at emotion.
Agreed. And no doubt we're going to dive into related topics and also, you know, have some conversations with some other humans that can add some much needed sort of fresh perspective to this as well in the coming weeks.
Yes, absolutely, Rich. Well, my friend, once more, I'd like to thank you very much, mate. This has been a lovely conversation.
Right back at you, my friend. Big hug.
Yeah, you too.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.